Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hey! It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Mark Order Podcast after Dynamite coming to you live. Ryan is not cosmetically cleared to be here, as MXM would say. He isn't allowed around these parts when Joe is here. It's a Jets and the Sharks situation. They have to be on other sides of the locker room, which is convenient because we're not there. Yeah. When you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way. But we're here to talk some Dynamite. We've already got a full chat of Lord Kev, Matthew Hooks, Taylor Cannon, 1LT Photo, Scott George, the beautiful, wonderful Kylie, Big G. Ryan is running from the grind. Look, Nick Khan of WWE in the press said that, like, he doesn't understand complaining about being tired, man. He can't even wrap his head around that. So Ryan would not hold up well in WWE. He's also not a fucking creep. So I guess he wouldn't just be welcomed back, but we are not talking to WWE tonight. We are talking AEW, who is on a heater, absolute heater of episodes. I loved tonight's episode, and I love talking AEW with my Cyclone friend, Mr. Joe of the Asias. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, that's very sweet of you. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. You and I are both a little tired today, man. I had work and then I went to the gym, and I am getting healthier and stronger, which is great. But at the same time, that means my trainer feels like he can kick my ass more and more week over week. And today he was like, "Guess what? We got a new machine. Want to use it?" And I was like, "Not really." And he was like, "We're going to use it." And I was doing some ass to grass squats that I'll be feeling tomorrow that tuckered me out today. But
do you need a stronger lower body? Yeah, I feel like your legs are pretty strong.
I got some ham hocks on me. That is true. They are not necessarily what one would call like in shape. I am genetically doing well in that general area. But we've got some tightening up to do. Because damn, did the pendulum squat machine kill me. But it's good, man. God bless my trainer. He knows me very well at this point. And all my proclivities and the ways that I that I need my ass kicked. And the ways that he knows how to lay off of me, which is good. But yeah, I got home and just face planted on my bed, just flat out. But I'm doing well. It feels good. How are you doing, Joe? What's cooking in your world?
You know, I'm tired, but not from working out. I'm just tired. So
from life.
Yeah, life is a grind. It really is.
Life in the grind will do it, man. Life in the grind will do it.
Yeah, just I'm realizing that summer is almost over.
I know, it's nuts. It's like, I was like, oh man, we're into August. And I was like, we're a week into August now. Tomorrow's the 7th. Like, it's nuts how this time of year flies by. But,
school's about to start up. They're promoting Full Gear in November already.
I know. Are you going to come out for it? You going to be our friend?
Probably not.
Oh. Well, now I can do this because I have access to our. Oh, I like this though now. Because I pulled you off screen and pulled you back on screen. Now I'm on the left as the host, as God intended. So I'm staying here, man.
I don't like that side anyway. I'm going here.
Fine. You're not going to come here in November. You're pushed that way. Me and you are like the Hurt Syndicate and Mike Bailey. We're throwing hands. They did not throw hands. We're going to talk about that in a second. It seems like all too rare in professional wrestling, two grown-ass adults perhaps have had a conversation where they resolved their issues, because that snuck its way onto to our purview tonight, which is quite frankly awesome. You don't always have to punch someone in the head. You can just talk about things if you have a problem with someone. We're going to get into all of that and more, but please do chat along with us. We got more people in the chat already. Fernando, LaRon, Greg Cherry, who I got to meet over the weekend before I went home and yacked. So we could talk about that too. I think the Lord was protecting me from going to SummerSlam, Joe, because I did the WWE media junket, which was great, honestly. Bron Breakker, not the easiest interview I've ever done, but God bless him.
He really picks and chooses when he wants to talk. You know, he can. I've seen it in other videos.
I think it's a couple things. So he like notoriously was not a good interview, and then he seemed to get more comfortable. I interviewed him. First of all, it's like it's 9 a.m. These guys have already had long days. They had SmackDown the night before. It's a lot. Second of all, he got asked probably 11 times in a row about his spear, specifically the IShowSpeed one. But everybody that went before me, hey, so you're spear and also you're working with Paul Heyman. And I was like, I am going to not ask about his fucking spear, because that's all anybody asks about with this guy. I was like, maybe that will help loosen him up. A sweetheart before the interview, a sweetheart after the interview. During the interview, I think he was also trying to do like the half in character thing, and that didn't like work so much. But other people have had this experience, namely my co-host Alex, was like, I think he probably just was doing everything in his power not to be like, Seth is coming back. Which is very possible when you have like this giant thing that you know looming over your head. But I did the junket. I, because I'm a professional, came home and did the SmackDown review. Well, actually, so on Thursday, I got to go to the Boys and Girls Club event, which was honestly my favorite part of the weekend. Like, WWE, probably a tax write-off, but a sweet one nonetheless, they work with the Boys and Girls Club to finish renovations or transform spaces at Boys and Girls Club. In this case, it was like a room for the physical arts that was like a yoga and dance studio that they started, and then when the floods hit, they had to stop and they didn't have the funding for. This was in Lower Bergen County in New Jersey. And the person that quarterbacks all this stuff is Big E. So nobody in the world better to come out and do one of these community events than Big E. The kids are just going fucking crazy. Big E's there, Mia Yim's there, American Maid's there, Jimmy Hart's there, which nobody cared. I think my guess is it was supposed to be someone else, but the storms that we had this weekend prevented travel and stuff because the whole thing got very delayed. And then they like donated scholarships to their super builders who helped build this room. And that was just really special, because it was just like, of all the yapping about fucking wrestling I'm doing, just like seeing little kids see wrestlers and go nuts is like, my heart was just exploding. And then Friday I did the junket, was going to go see John Cena for the last time, but I had a guest co-host because we still don't have that solved for Friday. So I was like, well, the whole point is to test my chemistry with people, so I should probably go ahead and do that. And then Saturday I went to WrestleCon, which is where I met Greg. I met SJ, who's wonderful. Did some interviews. And right at the end, not even right at the end, like a half hour before it ends, I'm like, I need water and to sit down. Like, I just did not feel like I was in my own body after getting, like, it was wonderful. I talked to like 7 people, got to talk to Chris Bay, angel of a human being, got to talk to AJ Francis and Ben Bishop, which is hysterical. Like, AJ Francis just gets it. I don't know how to put it other than that. But I was actually going to go interview Carlito, and I was like, I feel like I'm going to fall down if I go and do this interview, so I'm not going to do it. And then I got some water, but I was like, okay, I need to go home instead of go right to SummerSlam because I don't feel good. Like, I need to lay down and drink water probably. And I was also like, I can walk my dog and whatever. And I am driving down the interstate. And on this interstate, there's various parts where you can pull off. And then there's places where you cannot pull off. And one of the places, one of the stretches you can't pull off is about 5 minutes from my place. And I was like, I think I can make it home without getting sick. And then I would say literally 3 minutes from home, I have my laptop bag, pull my laptop out, pull my wallet out, yakking as I'm driving, which texting and driving, small potatoes compared to the shit I was doing, heaving into my fucking $200 laptop bag, yakking and driving. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to make it to SummerSlam. And I text Sean. I was like, I don't think I can go. And then we find out that the pressers got canceled anyway. And I was like, oh, they don't want to answer questions about Triple H cozying up to the president. That makes sense. And then on night two, we found out that it was because Brock Lesnar was coming back. But hi, Tony. Yes, they did, by the way. Those guys fucking rule. That match was awesome. But I was like, God granted me the space, because how it works too is like, if WWE doesn't credential you immediately, but then there's room for media, they'll blanket credential. Like, anybody that applied but didn't get credentialed the first round gets credentialed. So I found out very late that I could have gone tonight too. And I was like, I would not have been able to keep my shit. Like, I would not have been able to have a professional face on my face if I saw Brock Lesnar come back in real time. So it's probably good, because WWE press would have just heard me go, what the fuck? I think very, very loudly. So skirted around that. They've closed down press opportunities probably until next April. So that was my weekends in a nutshell. But WrestleCon was a great time. I was so glad to meet SJ. I was very happy to meet Greg Cherry, and a couple other people there, and snagged some interviews. I was very just like, I don't want to interrupt you guys making your bag, but if you want to chat, I'm here with my tripod. Talk to Tekla, talk to Layla, which was really cool. Talk to Crew, not the Crew, but Leo Rush and Action Andretti, who were awesome. So that was my weekend, and then it's just been an absolute fucking shit show ever since on the wrestling front. So that was it.
Well, you looked very professional with you're all dressed up. You had your little mini microphones.
I did. Well, it was so funny because I was originally just supposed to run camera for Sean, but Sean's flights got canceled because of the storms. So he was like, you open to work in the whole junket? I was like, I hope my fucking tiny little lav mics will do, because that's all I got as a setup. And he was like, that's fine. So, yeah, I was like, I don't wear business wear ever. Like, I can't believe I even had a blazer, man. That was nuts. I was like, what corporate wardrobe do I have left? Like, I yap about wrestling. I go to a marketing job where my boss wears stretch pants most days. Like, it's not that vibe. So, and before that, I worked from home. So I was like, I hope there's something in the attic that doesn't make me look ridiculous that fits.
I went down to like Burlington or something.
I did. So I bought a couple of backup outfits. I found out very late that Sean wasn't going to be able to come, because he was like, not only is my flight canceled, but I have no flights out of here, out of Lexington to New Jersey. And he was like, I ain't driving. I was like, no way, not when I'm already here. But then I was like, you know what? There was actually some stuff in the closet that I thought looked all right. And there were more comments about my outfit than Braun Breaker's answers. So it is what it is. Do you have any SummerSlam memories? Not really.
SummerSlam?
was like,
no, I,
something, man.
I watched night two. I didn't watch night one live. Yeah, it was there. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know how much of SummerSlam will be remembered by anything that actually happened in the ring too much.
No, that is like, so other than Brock being a piece of shit who was mentioned in an ongoing sex trafficking investigation 44 fucking times, they keep doing these like great matches, and then the post-match angle tends to erase what just got done. Like that happened at Mania too, right? Like we've seen that a lot, and we've also seen, like, I don't want them to get into a pattern of shitty night one, but a really good main event and angle, much more loaded night two kind of thing. Cause that just means you don't need a 2-day event. You're just stretching it out. But yeah, I feel like nobody's going to remember it for certainly now. God. But that's WWE bullshit. We're here to talk some AEW bullshit. You want to talk about the incredibly tense Hurt Syndicate and Mike Bailey situation that was so tense that they poked fun at it literally tonight? There was a report. Well, let's do this right. There was a Spaces where someone was spewing some real truths and also some bullshit about tensions between Mike Bailey and the Hurt Syndicate. There was truth to that situation where there were tensions. Some of the things in that Spaces were accurate. Some of them had kernels of truth, but were exaggerated. And some of it was some straight up bullshit. There was then a report on FightfulSelect.com that encapsulated a lot of stuff, including one very crucial line that the AEW locker room is healthier than it's been in a very, very long time. But that MVP and Mike Bailey, well, it sounded one-sided. MVP, not a huge Mike Bailey fan, didn't want to drop to jet speed, and that there were tensions. But also in that report, it said that those tensions were largely dismissed by the AEW locker room because it doesn't have to do with that many people, and a lot of people just didn't really give a shit, it sounds like. And right now, they're in a good string of shows for their product. And I think as far as like people that don't want to be there, most of them are gone. Like people that are unhappy working at AEW for the most part aren't there. I had said when I saw this segment tonight, or knowing what we know about MVP, like I could see Mike Bailey being eccentric enough and MVP being a very different energy enough that would be like oil and water, that it wouldn't work. I could also see MVP being like, I don't think the Hurt Syndicate should lose to two guys of this size that are this new of a tag team as well. Like I can understand not wanting to drop the titles to them. There were also names of teams that they didn't want to drop to, apparently. But here's one thing that I do know. MVP knocked Chris Jericho out on his own fucking boat. And very, 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 very early in MVP's tenure in AEW, like one of the first things he did was bury the hatchet with Chris Jericho. They got in the same room. They had a conversation like grown men. And Jericho, despite what like people's perceptions of him might be or whatever, he's a very good communicator. It always made sense to me that him and CM Punk didn't get along because I feel like CM Punk is very much like on the very fiery on the human rights side and not a great interpersonal relationship guy. And I feel like Chris Jericho is a great interpersonal relationship guy and not so strong on the human rights side. So they buried the hatchet. And when I heard that, I was like, well, this might not turn into a thing because I don't think it's nearly as big of a thing as punching someone out on their own fucking boat as MVP did with Jericho. And I think that MVP can have a conversation with someone and come to a mutual understanding. And considering they made fun of this shit on social media, I think that's probably an incredibly healthy sign. It was a very, very funny little thing that they did. I don't think it negates the report. I think what is in that report is probably pretty damn typical of what happens in professional wrestling locker rooms, and people like to throw gasoline onto smaller fires. But I was so happy to see it because, one, it was really funny, and two, like, just be grown-ups. Like, don't punch each other in the head. I feel like it's not that hard, but seemed to certainly be a nothing burger, as it were. I still don't know who beats the Hurt Syndicate for the tag titles. Tony was calling them Bro Dildo in the chat. I want them to win it. I fucking love that team. They rule. Brody King's a monster, dude. And I could believe that he would beat Bobby Lashley. I could also see it being FTR and them facing off against Copeland and Christian at some point. What do you make of any of this stuff? And how are you feeling about the tag division kind of slowly starting to reset through this tournament?
I think the real crux of the issue is, and we haven't touched on it, is maybe MVP was just jealous of Speedball for, and I think maybe they wanted Kevin Knight as part of the Hurt Syndicate.
Oh, you know? Okay. They should turn that into a storyline. That would be really fun. I thought you were going to say he was jealous of Mike Bailey's mullet, because I could also understand that.
Sure. But, you know, one man's mullet, you know, he has the suits. So it's a suit or a mullet. Can't have both.
Sure.
As far as the tag division, the whole question about trying to find a team that is legitimately able to beat the Hurt Syndicate, yes, that can be difficult, but it's wrestling where we can have, you know, interference finishes, distraction finishes, all sorts of, you know, things to help offset physical size and all that stuff. So that's kind of where I've always thought that FCR will win with the help of MJF.
I don't know what way that goes now, but I hear you.
So, but yeah, I think Brodito is a fun tag team. I just don't know if it's, we can talk about later tonight, later on the show, but it's just weird to me that that's what you do with your ROH champion.
I mean, they ROH, just maybe they'll go get themselves a Peacock deal now, but I don't they're just prop belts. My thing with Brodito is it's tricky because it feels like they were like, we got to do something with Brody King because he's so fucking over, but all of his tag partners keep getting injured. Like, we don't know what to do. His first tag partners leave the company. His second tag partners get injured. He's out there throwing bombs and just fine. And Bandido has been so over, and Lucha Wrestling in general has been such a draw for AEW that I understand the temptation of putting them together. But you're right, and that it's like, it's a little makeshifty, and Bandido should kind of have programs for something else. The thing with ROH is we immediately kind of have this other pay-per-view coming up pretty quick. So that should force them into some pretty meaningful programming soon enough, but also they might announce their entire card a week before and forget that Deonna Purrazzo works there. So I don't know what we're going to do. Some people in the chat saying like Bandido versus Takeshita was a match of the year contender. Takeshita's having a great G1 too, man. That guy is special. I have heard, and you know how hearing things goes, I've heard that Kenny Omega is like, I don't want to say protective of him and that he's like, that's my boy, but like immediately recognized how special Takeshita was, and it is a huge priority for them that he stays important, and I think just stays around AEW in general. So them and Bandido had a fun one. But you think an FTR then, if Bandido is in the way? Okay. Yep. We're gonna talk about what Stokely got himself into with all of this in a little bit, because he said, I am short, I am bald, I have no bitches, but we're going to talk about all of that and more. But before we do, we had Tony hanging out in the chat. And he, of course, is one of the Shining Wizards of the Shining Wizards Network that we are a part of. He's a part of that anchor show, man. He's a part of the flagship show every Monday. I'm going to be on Kate's Corner, not next week, but the following. I hope that I get to see Tony at Matt's Barbecue if he's able to make it. But they've got some really fun stuff. If you want to see Matt dancing, which you do, even if you don't know you do. He was dancing for Becca. It's a lot of fun. One LT Photo saying, hey, I won the Shining Wizards contest. Well, damn, there you go. There you go. But we're going to we'll let this ad break tell you all about the Shining Wizards flagship show and the other shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jacks. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rogue. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Whoa, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing! You got a slight one in there? If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
We are so back, man. We are so back. I love seeing that we have multiple Shining Wizards contest winners in the chat. 1LT Photo, Lord Kev. I love it. I love seeing that. Love hearing it. Hang out with them on Monday nights if you got the time. But we are going to get into this episode of AEW Dynamite. Joe, this had it all. It really did. This episode had tag wrestling, great women's talent rotation, Stokely calling himself short and bald, Darby Allin with a body bag, just dropping off Wheeler Yuta, oil paintings with Kyle Fletcher and Don Callis. I thought this was really good. I'm a little tired of the crutch of tournaments, but I also understand, like, they go to those when they're trying to reset stuff. And I also think, like, there's been a lot of chit-chat about Forbidden Door and, like, how you can't build that while the G1 is going on. And I get it. But I also am kind of like, I think all the builds to AEW pay-per-views have been really good this year. And I feel like the attraction of Forbidden Door is Forbidden Door. Like, I prefer some sort of build, but, like, it's an all-star game. I don't need, like, Well, what are they going to do? Build the story in 3 weeks? Yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm fine with that. I do think the schedule, they should not sync these up again, because not only does it affect the build, but just, like, the work rate for the actual wrestlers themselves. Like, that's way too much to put on them. But I like what we're getting. We're going to talk about what happened on the women's side too. What did you think kind of overall tonight?
No, I felt like for not a lot of in-ring action as far as the number of matches. We had a lot more interview and backstage segments again. But I thought it struck a nice balance for me. It had just enough wrestling in the ring, and what we got was really good. And then we had some entertainment part, and we had some things to set up storylines down the road. So yeah, overall it was pretty healthy.
So this may surprise you, because it surprised me. This is the same amount of matches as they've been doing. This was a four-match episode, which is kind of the groove they found themselves in. But there were, it felt like, a lot more segments in general. I agree with you on that. I don't know what trickery they pulled off, if they were just shorter matches. We, of course, had the overrun, as we do from time to time. But I also was like, this is a lighter in-ring episode. And then I looked back and I was like, well, it's the same number of matches. But I agree with you. This felt like a little bit more crowded with stuff that was more like angles focused. But let's dig into it all. I thought it was very wise after WWE had a rough week to start with an MJF promo, because I feel like he's probably one of the more recognizable outside of AEW AEW guys to an outside audience that they had. And I also just like it when they bookended the show, right? He cuts this promo, they main evented, but he has a scathing little reference to Mark Briscoe not having a title shot. Didn't go as heavy on the Jay stuff, but mentioned him today, which I am glad that they've said other things. He calls Delaware a chicken dump, and we kind of just get a nice tone-setting promo for tonight. MJF also, with his CMLL belts, he defeated Averno for that. I know nothing about CMLL, except that anytime I watch it, I'm like, this is fucking fun. But that's the only thing that I have about it. I do know that was a big deal, because I think Averno is a heel. From what I saw, it was a lot of like, MJF must be a real fucking heel in Mexico for him to get heat on somebody else kind of thing. But I gotta say, like, I'm impressed with MJF and his ability. He's working a Mark Briscoe program. He's working a Hurt Syndicate program. He's working multiple CMLL programs now. He has this title shot with Hangman, and he's promoting a movie. Like, we see so much, like, and Samoa Joe is away promoting Sweet Tooth, and then he'll be back. Like, he's making towns, man. Like, he's really doing the most. And I like that it all kind of seems consequential to each other. Like, I like that the Hurt Syndicate will probably cost him his title shot, and I'm guessing a second match against Mark Briscoe. Or maybe Mark wins next week, and then in the blow-off or something, the Hurt Syndicate costs him. So I like that he's not only involved in so much across multiple companies while promoting, they do seem woven into each other a pretty good deal. What did you think?
Yeah, I think AEW has done a really good job of that with, you know, multiple guys and women, as far as keeping the threads tied to different storylines, so they're not hampered by one if something goes wrong, you know, if they have to cut ties with one storyline and pivot. They have so many options, and it's been really beneficial for them. And yeah, they're getting their money's worth out of that MJF contract. I mean, he really has been kind of the face of it.
Also, in the very beginning, I know there's a lot of people that watch it Fightful that are watching in this chat, so I did just want to point out that Jeremy Lambert was at this taping, and he did finish the story. He did get his Bryan Danielson shirt, which, if you're unfamiliar with it, is just this very weird promo photo of Bryan Danielson that whenever he writes a Bryan Danielson-centric headline, he just uses that photo every time. And he did it so much that they made a t-shirt of it, and he never got to see it, and then they stopped selling it, and they never gave him one. So Jeremy Lambert making them money, finally getting a t-shirt. I'm very glad. Very glad that he got his hands on one. Thank God. thank God. But that was also happening at the beginning of the show. But we move into our first match, which was John Moxley versus Mike Bailey. Now, this got announced late, but we have Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta at ringside, of course. I really liked a lot of this match because I forget like how expansive John Moxley has made his wrestling style to include tactical MMA style grappling in things of like, he's like, all right, speedball Mike Bailey and your kicks, I'm going to ground you as a part of the story of this match so that you can't use your kicks on me. Like he had some very cerebral wrestling today in this match, which I liked because there wasn't really a story to this, right? Like this was just a match that got made. We get a knee drop moonsault off the barricade from Mike Bailey, which was fun. Mike Bailey's very over with this crowd. Like ever since he came in and there's just been like this groundswell of support, but we have a shooting star pressed into an armbar, which I think I've seen before with a ZSJ fella that I'm familiar with. Triangle attempts in this. Moxley reversing things into a bulldog choke. Like, I really like how Moxley accentuated Mike Bailey's strengths by thinking ahead. Like, I thought it was a very clever way to approach business. Moxley winning with the Death Rider after the Wheeler Yuta distraction. I always want to say Wheeler Yuta's name like William Regal used to say it, Wheeler Yuta. But I thought this was a really fun opener. I really liked how much of like a veteran MMA style background John Moxley brought to this. I thought it made for a really entertaining match.
Yeah, it was interesting to see kind of Mox. We're kind of seeing this whole Mox as the hunter now instead of being the hunted, and with him going to speedball, it's just I think his ring psychology of how he portrays his character in the ring now is different than when he was champion, and I like that where you were seeing different parts of him in the ring now, doing what he has to do to win the matches, and you know the only thing I had an issue with was really just that. He did ground Mike Bailey, but I really thought he maybe worked the legs more instead of working the hands and the wrists and things.
And take those kicks out of commission. Yeah, that's what I like too.
But I kind of would have wanted Speedball to win. I thought maybe he would have if we were going to get like a Darby interference. But
yeah, I was kind of split on it because we do see Darby Allin in this driving off in an SUV and leaving Wheeler Yuta in a body bag that has a post-it note attached to his head that just says Forbidden Door, which I don't know if has Darby spoken since he's come back. I don't think he's even said a word.
No, he's gone full stinger.
Yeah, he kind of has. He's gone full stinger with this. I kind of appreciated that it was just the Death Riders up to their usual tricks, and also like Claudio wasn't there. So hopefully we're on some intrigue of the downfall here. But I think John Moxley is just a face. I think I said this last week. Like I think I just like the way he works better as a face, and I think we're slowly starting to turn that tide. I think we're slowly starting to turn that tide.
I'm really hoping this Darby thing is kind of the blow off for the Death Riders, and then Moxley can go away for a while, get written off somehow, take a month and a half off, and then come back in the face.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all. The chat saying need Eddie. So that was something too that we saw this week is we saw Eddie Kingston post an Instagram story looking like old grizzled Eddie, which I love that look for him. The caption just said fucking ring. So it seems like he is back in the ring training to come back, which is a good sign. So we will see. Love me some old man Eddie Kingston. Delightful stuff. But let's move on. This was in Cleveland. We do move on to this fantastic promo with Toni Storm and Alex Windsor. Toni Storm says that they have just a very not at all sexual relationship. And then they tend to make several sexual references. Windsor promising to get wet licks in, going lick for lick. And Tony Storm referencing Ohio license plate that says something about taking two to tango to whatever. I did not think Alex Windsor was going to walk into A, the story, and B, something so character-centric, but she is, like, committed and having the time of her life, it feels like. I like that in more recent AEW signings, we have seen so much more intentionality with where they come in. Like, Mike Bailey and Kevin Knight had a plan. Josh Alexander had a plan. We're seeing it on the women's side here too, right? I think that's a really, really healthy sign of, like, not we're just signing whoever we think is great and available. We're signing people that we are preparing creative for is a very good thing here. And then we go into the match as well, which is your Forbidden Door four-way TBS qualifier. Alex Windsor defeating Sky Blue, Queen Amanada, and Billy Starks. They beat the crap out of each other. This was super fun. This was very fast. It was high energy. It was hard hitting. Athena was watching at ringside, kind of teasing that TBS title scene, which I thought was good. She's got this world title shot coming up, and I'd been saying it would be so cool if, like, Athena had the one thing that Mercedes couldn't win. Mercedes has 8 belts now. She came back with more. And Athena having the one that she couldn't get would be such an interesting way to go. But this match was great. Sky Blue kind of nearly stole things, but Alex Windsor winning with a small package after escaping a suplex. I'm not a big fan of winning with the small package, but when it feels like I'm very quickly trying to win a match like this one did, I like it. So that was that. What did you think of our tango between Tony Storm and Alex Windsor and our four-way, which has Alex Windsor going on to fight in her home country for the TBS title?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Windsor and Tony to be so chummy this quickly, but, you know, they're playing off each other well. And I don't mind the small package win. If you're hanging out with Tony Storm, you might as well use the biggest kind of package she has. Yeah. Sure. So the match was fun. It felt like the crowd was a little dead for the first half of it or so. And then that dual headbutt spot.
Yeah, woke everybody up.
Yeah, that was really great. I'm perfectly good with Alex winning. And, sign me up for Mercedes and Athena versus Tony and Alex.
Yeah, big time. I think one thing that certainly has improved, this was a great example of, like, how one match can get a lot of talent rotation involved. And I like to see that. I like to see that a lot. One LT photo saying Amanada is on the come up. She definitely is. Definitely is. She's, she said this week
for a while.
Yeah. Well, I think she was like 50-50 for a while, but now she's, even the losses she's taking are higher quality. It feels like she was on AEW sometimes and then she was on ROH. Like, we're at least seeing more consistent reps, more meaningful ones would be great. But it does feel like, oh, she's going to be in that TBS title picture sooner than later or whatever. I love seeing that. And she's a killer, man. She's a killer. I do think we could be leading possibly to a women's Blood and Guts. It felt that way last week. Felt less that way this week. But I think that that's probably because, like, cart before the horse as far as Forbidden Door goes. We had to settle business here. Subtle business here, but we did also get, like, this quick interview with with Renee where she's like, hey, so you have 8 belts, but you did lose for the first time. And Mercedes calling people marks, both online and now calling Renee Paquette a mark for asking her, absolutely sent me as well. So I like the Mercedes character. I know it's not for everyone, but I am a fan. So there you go. Post-match, we do get Monet, Storm, and Athena all kind of converging here. You get Windsor eating a Monet maker and Athena teasing a strike but walking off. She's got her contract in hand. Mercedes has her 483 belts in hand. Huge, huge fan of the continued rivalry that they seem to be building between those two as well. Let's talk oil paintings, Joe.
Ooh.
Kyle Fletcher and Don Callis come out to cut this promo. Don Callis is a heat magnet, whether you think it's for good reasons or bad reasons. Most of the time, you can barely hear his promo because of all the booing that happens. He unveils this beautiful oil painting done by the wonderful Mel Coleman of them wearing the belt together, basically. I don't know how Don Callis became Arnold Schwarzenegger in the process, because he's got arms and abs for days, but the belt is around the both of them. Fletcher kind of boasting about retiring legends. He says he put Adam Cole on the shelf too, and I said, damn you, Kyle Fletcher, how dare you? And promises to be the best TNT champion ever. A lot of heat on this. Kyle Fletcher having the title is fantastic. We did hear earlier in the week that Dustin Rhodes is going to have a double knee replacement at the tender age of like 50. So that's going to be a tough one to come back from. Wish him the absolute best with that. But what do you think of Don and Kyle just wearing a little belt together like cutie pies?
We just skip over the part that when they forget to teleport from backstage to the ring.
She did. She tweeted that she got her steps in today, but she really did just zip from one to the other.
It felt the Don Callis thing felt a little long for me. And I don't know. I wanted to set up something. I was hoping that we would get a direction of like what was next for Kyle instead of him listing his accomplishments.
I'm wondering if his Forbidden Door opponent is in the G1 right now. Like if it's going to be like Yoda Tsuji or something like that. Like, but I had the same thought. I was like, are we setting something up here or are we just yapping? But they were just yapping and unveiling a beautiful painting. But I
did like a fashion. When they're at the end, you know, Kyle's like, I'm going to take that painting. I'm going to put it above my bed. And Kyle's like, or on your ceiling if you want. And that works too.
Yes, that was very sweet. This whole AEW locker room, everybody has crushes on each other, and I love it. Like, Kyle Fletcher, huge crush on Takeshita. We have this here. The women's locker room, everybody's thirsting over Chris Statlander, which is fantastic. Scott George saying that Dustin Rhodes is 56. Well, damn. That's a lot to come back from at that age. That's a lot to come back from at that age. But some fun stuff. Some fun stuff there. Let's move on to Max and Jeremy Buck. Generation Me has reunited. They get an ice cream truck intro. I can confirm, breaking news, that was a Mikey Ruckus original right there. He was the one that scored that beautiful theme. I loved it, but they are sick of the disrespect. Crucially, something I love in this, and it's something that my frequent Fightful co-host Alex Pulaski was beating the drum of too, but I agree. I like that they are like, they're not broke like Baron Corbin was. They're indie jobbers in a wrestling company paying their dues again. They're not pretending they're not suddenly receiving a paycheck. They're not broke. They're just not EVPs, and they're not even established veterans on the show anymore, right? They're just jobbers getting jobber entrances, getting no respect from the production crew for all the shit that they put up with. Like they're just eating the downfall of everything that they put other people through. And I kind of really like that because while the downfall of a lot of people were saying it's like bum ass Corbin, like when Baron Corbin was on WWE television, and I understand the parallels, but like they're still receiving a salary from a wrestling promotion, right? Like they shouldn't be able to not afford clothes, right? So I really liked that about this. Like I like that they are just disrespected and unfortunately having consequences for their behavior, which is brutal. What did you think of just the Generation Me intro, and then we'll talk about this match.
Oh, I loved it, and I love the fact I love the callback, you know, to their the TNA days and when they were young, you know, 14 years ago, wherever it was, or 10 years ago. That was fun, and to your point, yeah, I like the fact that they're not broke like monetarily, but they're just they have no power now, so they don't get the extra, you know, pyro and the extra entrance anymore. They get what everyone else gets. So I like the humbling of them.
They wrote down what Justin Roberts should do as instructions, and Justin Roberts just read them verbatim, like, hey, man, you can't just do that. Like, he just verbatim wrote down what the Young Bucks wrote as directions, which I thought was such a fun touch. They've found new ways every week to drive this home, too. One week it was the Titantron. The next week it's the lower thirds, just say talent name. Like, I like how they've evolved that. But you know what? They can sure as fuck wrestle. This was fun as hell. I loved this tag match. Brodito is such a fun team, man. Like, what a... Because there just could not be more different as far as wrestlers go. But this was fun. You get the botched entrances, the screen replaying of All In and the announcing. But you get Brody King cannonballs. You get press slams. You get Canadian destroyers. The X knees I thought was cute. And the 21-plex here. But we get an avalanche fall-away slam from Bandido and Brodito hitting the catapult for the win. This match was 20 minutes, and it really kicked up into another gear. You mentioned the crowd on the women's match kind of taking a minute to warm up. I noticed that in this match, too. I thought it was a really inspired choice to, A, not run back FTR and the Young Bucks again, and B, just put forward two guys that the crowd really, really loves in AEW. Like, that's a good way to go about business. They'll get monster heat if they do lose to FTR. What were your thoughts on this 20-minute tag classic, Joe?
My first thought was, you know, no matter how much time they have off, the Bucks just are so smooth. They can, you know, not wrestle for months and still look like they haven't missed a step. And then, and the fact that, you know, Brody and Mandio has that amount of chemistry together as a tag team to match the Bucks and to play off of them, it's been really impressive to watch. I like some of the spots where, especially on the outside, I thought the little bounce beam fighting on the railing was fun.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and I'm just surprised that Brodino won. I mean, like, I thought that the Bucks were going to win, but I think giving the fans what they want with this unexpected tag team, I think that's the right call.
I agree. I think I figured you might get an upset on one side of the other because both of them have overarching things going on. Like, the Bucks have this very like overhaul of this character that's happening gradually, and FTR feels like they're headed toward the titles. So I figured it would be on this side, and I'm glad that they didn't go back to the well again. But I thought the match was fun as hell, and you're right. Like, I think the Bucks are at a point in their career where they've done so much and they've worked together as brothers so much that, like, when they have time off, it's almost just like our bodies are just recovering. There's not like they're not losing steps anymore. They just are able to heal a little bit, probably. And one thing that I've noticed too with this string of really great AEW shows is, like, this is without Ospreay, this is without Omega, like, this is without some of their horses that they've been relying on. So it's good to see that that's opened up for other talent to kind of shine here. Well, we get some video packages. We've got the MJF and Briscoe recap, which I thought was nice. They worked to CMLL title win into that. They renamed the belt, which I think would have more significance if I found out CMLL has 33 belts. So
how we complain about Mercedes just has one of them.
Yeah, she should probably go there more often. She could probably be a 30-time champion at this point, especially she only needs to get the creative control once and then she can just run amok. So, but the Hurt Syndicate lets MJF know they're not helping him. They're coming for him. And we do see that with him backstage with MVP being like, it can just be you and me, man. And he was like, we have MVP saying, I hope you don't win the title because that means Bobby Lashley is coming for you and you're going to die. Which I thought was a clever way for MVP to say, like, I'm your friend and also be playing both sides of the coin there. I thought that was cute. FTR and Stoke with Adam Copeland's challenge, and Stokely calls Beth Phoenix a micro brawler, but also a little self-deprecating humor saying that I am short, I am bald, I have no hose. This guy's got nothing to lose. I thought both of those were good. What did you think?
Yeah, I think the MJF and MVP stuff, I think that's fun. I think it gives a little bit of a wind down to the Hurt Syndicate thing, but also sets up the next chapter with him and Bobby down the line. And I think that's what we all want to see eventually. And, you know, Big Stoke is Big Stoke. That poor guy is going to give his life for FTR. It's just too bad that Beth isn't here.
I feel like that's maybe the first direct mention of her on screen. And she has posted that she's been training. So she's like a dream comeback I would love to see. I would love to see her versus Athena very, very much. But yeah, I think Stokely answering the open challenge. Stokely, like, I'm not going to say like he can work, meaning like, man, that guy is going to impress you with all the moonsaults he's going to do. But he knows how to make a wrestling match work. Like, he worked enough on the indies that he knows how to put on an entertaining match. So I'm looking forward to seeing what him and the Copester do. We also have this Shane Strickland. My dyslexia didn't like the name Shane Swerve Strickland on my screen at all. But he cuts a promo ahead of Forbidden Door for his match with Okada, saying, once I'm gone, there will never be another me. More promos with the crowd in back, please, when somebody is this over. That was my takeaway from this. This was a pretty straightforward thing for him and Okada. But I was like, can we get more of that setup? Because God bless. Like, I think that was a fun way to do things. What did you think?
Especially with as many promos and segments they had, backstage and in-ring, I think having that variety really helps provide some contrast and it gives people a little bit a different vibe across, you know, across the camera, having the people behind him. I think no notes on production for that. I'm looking forward to seeing that match, though. I mean, I'm ready for it now.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, I don't want to wait. We got some more people that have piled into the chat. We've got me, Normus. We've got Ricky Lynn. And of course, Jesse Ozog. Nobody to give you attitude today, Jesse Ozog. Only love for you. Only love for you here. We have this quick Aminata Willer Statlander backstage, kind of teasing a bit of an alliance to face off against the Triangle of Madness, the Creepy Gals. I got to interview Tekla very briefly. Very briefly, but she is very, very sweet, which is disarming and very tiny. but Willow says that she's there to smile, win matches, and basically bulldoze anybody that's in her way, which is fun. And she kind of invites Statlander into the silly little world. Chris Statlander, I said online, like, born to be a silly goose, trapped in the frame of being a badass wrestler and a kick-ass woman. feels like, knock on wood, we're headed to maybe blood and guts for the gals. What do you think?
You know, that's not a bad idea. I'm trying to think how many people we need. So we have 1, 2, 3. Who else would you incorporate into the Blood and Guts match?
I would put Billy Starks in there.
Okay.
It's hard because one of the factions is creepy gals and not just heels. So that's tricky. Who else is like, I'm trying to think like main roster wise, but like Diamante, I feel like could be really fun. And like just stylistically in a match like that. Dakota Kai could certainly walk right into that of like, oh, we need another member angle. Trying to think. Who else? Penelope Ford always rises to the occasion in these things. Penelope and Megan on the heel side could be fun.
Then TJ
on the face side. Yeah, because they always do the ultraviolet stuff too. That could be really fun.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we booked it.
We booked it. We got it. Well, it's main event time here at the Mark Order Podcast. So we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Please leave a thumbs up if you haven't already. We appreciate you watching along so much. These go so much faster when Ryan's not making bad song references, but
we had a fast show last week.
We did. We got MJF and Mark Briscoe, and they beat the heck out of each other. We get MJF with some classic heel stuff, with some biting, some gouging of the eyes. I loved him rolling away from the froggy bow several times. Like, that's such an easy heat thing, because it makes so much fucking sense. That, like, yeah, of course, it's not that different from the walkaway spot, but he just does it as a heel. They fight in the crowd. There's a table spot. There's a senton atomico onto the floor. And Briscoe finally hits the froggy bow, but MJF kicking out. And we get the heat seeker with Mark Briscoe's foot on the rope. But Bryce, who is normally a good referee, unfortunately, is an idiot here. So we get a controversial pin, which I think means that this story is not over. We get the use of the dynamite diamond ring after this to bust Mark Briscoe open, which I liked a lot because sometimes we just forget that he has it. It would be very fun if you put that on the line and Mark Briscoe won it. Like, Mark Briscoe with the dynamite diamond ring would be incredible. And we get Hangman Storm again, and you're not going to believe this, but a brawl breaks out. And MJF escapes through the crowd, but Hangman destroys everything around him. I love that he gets to do that as a face. This is a fun way to close the episode. And I like that. I like how connected everything is. I said that earlier, but like, again, we have MJF fighting Hangman or fighting Mark Briscoe, having already addressed the stuff with the Hurt Syndicate, wearing his CMLL title, and Hangman coming down for him. That's all of his creative on one episode, and it didn't feel like suffocated onto the show. I really, really like that. What did you think of our main event? I'm hoping we get a trilogy out of this.
I would hope so. I'm just curious, like, when Mark will get that win. Like, when will he get the win over MJF? I mean, I don't know if you have to do it before he becomes champion, or do you wait until he becomes champion and maybe give Mark a title run sometime. But
I feel like, I mean, MJF's losing to Hangman.
Right.
I want to see MJF with a mid-card title again. That's not an American title run. But I feel like maybe the Hurt Syndicate costs him against Mark. Because Mark's got to get a win. It feels trilogy-y to me. Like, the story got very personal, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I immediately compared it to Dusty and Flair, and they had a credible trilogy that I've just assumed that that's the way it's going. But I don't think Mark Briscoe sat through weeks of his brother's name being mentioned to not get a win out of it. You know what I mean? But
I didn't appreciate the fact that commentary really tried to put over the fact that, like, oh, Briscoe had been winning a lot of matches, and then him losing the way he did really helped protect that. And like you said, sets up hopefully a trilogy.
I don't normally like a protected loss like this because I feel like it's overprotected, but I feel like for this one it kind of had to be to, like, you really want to protect Mark Briscoe in this because the angle has been like, you're a loser, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to be as murky as possible.
That was the show. Good old brawl. I always get nervous when they go in the audience.
I know, me too.
Like, MJF plays with the crowd a lot, throwing people's hats. It's like, oh gosh.
He like will throw someone's cell phone on the ground. Like he does not give a fuck. I also I now have this new fear. Ever since Adam Cole exploded his ankle, I'm just like, be very careful as you go through crowds and upstairs, people. But that's what it is. But a really solid episode of AEW Dynamite. And because Ryan was not here, it's addition by subtraction. And I think a very solid episode of Mark Order Podcast due to his lack of presence. And you add in the presence of Jesse Ozog, everything gets better.
If we were characters from Burn Notice, which one would Ryan be?
Not dealing with that. Not dealing with this. Because here's the thing. I'll bring you back on the screen. This is all started by my cousin. My cousin loves Burn Notice, and I'm like, I don't like the show. I'm not watching the show. And he knows that me and Alex Pulaski do a show where we watch things that wrestlers are in. And he's like, there was an episode with whoever. The Big Show, I think. And now he's turned me, Normus, and the rest of the Fightful chat on multiple occasions against me, asking me to review Burn Notice. I'm not at a lack of things to review. You know what I mean? Like, I do Burn enough Notice. Yapping.
It's far better than Frey Got Fingered.
I know, but Freddy Got Fingered is going to get me a puppet of myself. So
it's only an hour and a half, probably, as opposed to like multiple seasons of Burn Notice.
I think that's the other thing. Honestly, it's tricky to review TV shows because it's just like an episode that a wrestler was in. When we did Hulk Hogan and Walker, Texas Ranger, that was fine because the storyline was he was solving racism with his youth center. And I don't know if you know this, but Hulk Hogan, a little racist, it turns out.
Honestly, yeah.
So, but if I get puppets, I'm open to reviewing anything. I just want a puppet of myself.
I enjoyed Burn Notice. I watched it through in real time, back when it was live.
To answer your question, if Ryan was any character on Burn Notice, I can't really answer it because I didn't watch the show, but yeah, he would be the girl, Fiona.
I feel like you're kind of the Michael Wesson of...
You know what I said about that show to my sister? Because she watched it. And I was like, everybody on there is LA hot. Meaning like, every part of them is hot. But you put the package together and I'm like, I don't know if you're attractive. Like, you have nice hair. You have nice eyes. You have nice teeth. Your whole face is nice. Your body's very fit. You put the whole package together and I'm like, I don't know if you're an attractive person.
Bruce Campbell is very attractive. Come on.
Bruce Campbell. What a stud. Well, I'll tell you what. I am a little tired. And tomorrow, I'm gonna rest tonight. I'm going to get my 8 hours. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have me a breakfast. I don't know how nutritious it'll be. Maybe like my vegan version of eggs. Maybe some cereal. But where would I know to get cereal? Because I don't just want the standard stuff. I want something fun. I want something different. I want something outlandish. I would like to read about this somewhere. But I can't because there's nobody that's ever created a blog about that very thing.
Very sad. Well, you're lucky, Kate. I started a blog many years ago. Yeah, I know. Just don't tell your trainer about eating horrible cereal, but you can read all about it. If you go to my social media at _AsianJoe and find a link to my cereal review blog. And I still have a cereal I need to review. So,
which one? Otherwise,
it's that Captain Crunch Orange Dreamsicle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued.
We'll see if it's if you're worth the $2.50 that I paid for it at Target.
If it's not, that is sad. But follow Joe of the Asias.
Where are you if you're not puking into computer bags or.
Mostly that. I'm mostly puking into computer bags, but on the rare occasion I'm not. I have a YouTube channel that I inconsistently produce content on. You should check it out. It's at Miss Kate Fave on YouTube. I'm also at Fightful, yapping about wrestling all the time and occasionally yelling about it because sometimes wrestling promotions do morally reprehensible stuff and I feel the need to shout very loudly into a camera and a microphone. So you can catch me doing that. That part's usually behind the paywall on Fightful Select. I'm normally an adult grown-up woman on the main channel at Fightful, but Mondays, Tuesdays, Fridays, PLEs and pay-per-views, I'm somewhere at Fightful reviewing all that. And of course, Wednesdays, Joe and I are both here at the Mark Order podcast without Ryan twice now in 3 weeks. What a glorious, glorious month it's been.
Are you going to be gone next week now, Kate? Because I feel like it's your turn to be gone.
It is, like, in the rotation, ironically, like, I'm the one that's up. But what'll happen is I just save those. I have, like, rollover times off for when I'm out for just, like, 3 weeks in a row.
That's fair.
They'll just be, like, 3 weeks where Sean's like, I need you to fill in or something will come up. So, I am, as of now, slated to be here next week. So... we'll see if Ryan bothers to come back. It's fine if not. It's good. He's our intern. He just takes care of the audio for us. But but that wraps it up here at the Mark Order Podcast. Please do follow us on social media. We can plug our pro wrestling tea store as well if you like our background that you see here on this very broadcast. Well, darn it, we've put it on a t-shirt in 4 different ways. My God, head over to prowrestlingtees.com, find the Mark Order podcast store, and you can get both the words and our cool little logo. Double-sided, single-sided, pocket square, options galore. Buy a shirt. One LT photo knows. Buy a shirt. So there you go.
Probably wearing it right now.
Yeah, probably is. But that wraps it up here at the Mark Order Podcast. We thank you so much for joining us. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Please leave a thumbs up on your way out. And here we say goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.